Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Ecclesiastes. I've got a couple of books up here that I'm using for props, and I want to say. So anyway, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds, live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time and some just got married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching us are believers, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Man's search for the missing puzzle piece is the theme of the entire book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, given a great gift of discernment and wisdom, has written us a book. Many believe at the tail end of his life, after he's made many, many mistakes, he's letting us into his diary. He's letting us into his journal. He's told us that he tried to be happy by finding in wine, in relationships with women, in wealth, in his work. He's tried all these things. He finds that there's nothing new under the sun. He says it's all vanity or emptiness and vexation of spirit. So here we have a passage in chapter 9 that is very, very interesting. Life doesn't make sense. The righteous suffer, the wicked thrive, and we all end up dead. Because it seems that no matter how you live, death is coming. Life doesn't make sense. So what do you do? That's the subject of today's passage. Life doesn't make sense. So what do you do? So I've entitled this message based upon our passage, Enjoy Life Now While You Search. Because man's search for the missing puzzle piece, Pascal, the philosopher, said that in every heart there's a God-shaped vacuum. I think that's even though it's not the way he put it, it's not a biblical principle, but I think from Scripture we know that until we find Jesus, until we find our relationship with God, we're not going to be happy. And so, what do you do during all that time? Well, one of the themes of Ecclesiastes, now, ladies and gentlemen, congregation, and I'm saying this to myself, one of the themes of Ecclesiastes is that many times life doesn't make sense. And can I tell you something just as a sidelight? Aren't you thankful that Solomon didn't candy coat his writing, but he was honest? God will be honest with you. The Lord Jesus Christ is honest with you when he tells you that you need him. You need to believe upon him. You need to give your life to him, even though there's difficulty in this life. One of the themes that Solomon has throughout this whole book is that we are to enjoy the blessings that God has given us. Now, I want you to see that. I want you to go back to chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes. Let's just go back and do a little Bible study here in this book. chapter 2, verse 24. Look at this. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. So can I say this to you? Whenever he says we are to enjoy life, whenever he says we are to enjoy life, even while we're searching to find the right answer for our life, we are to do that. It's all under the superintendency of God. You see that at the end. It says, this also I saw was from the hand of God. Now go to chapter 3, verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12 says this, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Now, you know, sometimes in Christian circles, you find people that say, you know, if you really are sold out to Jesus, you just go around like this all the time. I mean, everything is just so solemn. And everything is so serious. You could never have any fun. You could never smile. You could never enjoy life. Well, can I tell you this? Life is difficult enough. And he's telling us in these passages. I want you to go to chapter 3, verse 22. Chapter 3, verse 22. So I perceive that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Go to chapter 5. We're just going to look at these. Chapter 5, verse 18 says this, here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him. See, it's all under the superintendency of God. In other words, to really enjoy life, you don't really start enjoying life until you give your life to God, until you give your life to Jesus Christ. And so he says there in verse 18, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. So we are to enjoy life. And then in chapter 8, go to chapter 8, verse 15, great verse. It says, so I commended enjoyment. Somebody ever says to you, you know, God is just really the killjoy. He doesn't want you to have any fun. You take them to Ecclesiastes 8:15. The Lord commended enjoyment. Amen? Are you there? Okay, you're there. Okay? And so in 8:15, so I commended enjoyment because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. For this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life. And notice this caveat, which God gives him under the sun. When you find him talking about this, he's talking about it in terms of what has God given you, and it's with the assumption that you're living under that umbrella of God's authority and God's love in your life and the blessings that God has given you. Well, he's going to do it again in chapter 11. I'm not going to read that, but he's going to tell us again to enjoy life. Because here's the problem. We've got a difficult set of circumstances sometimes. Life doesn't always work out completely as we think it should. And sometimes we talked about it before. Sometimes there's injustice. Sometimes there's tragedy. Sometimes there's difficulty. And we're going to read about that a little bit more today. But in our passage today, I want you to look at chapter 9, verse 7. In our passage today, he says, go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life. That's interesting. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity or emptiness. For that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So let me read our passage. You know, Bible reading should be a part of worship, shouldn't it? We should read the passage of Scripture. I pray that every time we come for public worship, we read the Bible. So you follow along in your copy of God's Word. I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 9, 1 through 12. All right, it says this, "For I considered all this in my heart so that I could declare it all, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. People know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before them. All things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked." Well, guess what that is? Well, you're going to find out. "To the good, the clean, and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and to him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath as he who fears an oath." Verse 3. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. We have one thing in common. Truly the hearts of the son of men are full of evil madness in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. That's it. They go to the dead. Verse 4. "But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. Go eat your bread with joy," here's verse 7, "and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all." Now I think that, well, let me finish. "For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net." You ever been seining? Where you go seining for fish in a net. Those fish are just swimming along. They don't know it. They're taken up in that net. All right? "Like fish in a net. All right, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them." All right, here's what we're to do. So you're sitting there thinking, life does not make sense. What in the world do I do? You surrender to Jesus Christ. I'm just going to give you it in a nutshell right here, and then we're going to dig into it. You surrender your life to Jesus Christ, lock, stock, and barrel. Jesus, whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. When you say jump, I say how high. Jesus Christ, you have me, all of me. They say that William Booth was asked one time, "Dr. Booth, how did you have such success with the Salvation Army in London?" And he said, "From the time the Lord touched my life, the Lord had all of me." That's what he said. The Lord had all of me, and God used him greatly. So I would say to you this, what do? You give Jesus all of you. And the second thing you do, you ready for this? Enjoy life. Enjoy life. This is what Solomon is telling us. So there are three main movements in this text that I want to highlight. Here's the first one. Number one, enjoy life now. Death is coming. Enjoy life now. Death is coming. One Hollywood actor said, "I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens." I think that's probably like a lot of us. In verse 1, he says, "For I considered." He is thinking about this. He says, the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. So you trust God in your superintendence, in his superintendency. You know, I was thinking about our schools, and what do we have in the school system? We have a superintendent. He's the one in charge. He's the one that, and I know there are others that are making decisions, but there's a superintendent that is giving direction to the whole school system. Well, you know what? You have someone who is your superintendent as a believer, and that is the Lord, because the scripture says, the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. So you trust God's superintendency over your life. And then it says this in verse 2, all things come alike to all. In other words, it's inevitable. Death is coming. We know in verse 3, he's talking about death. He says, one thing happens to all in verse 3. Now he says, there's madness in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. You know, there's a sinful nature in all of us, and the Bible calls that evil. The Bible calls that madness or folly. One pastor defined the word madness as a willingness to harm others. There's something in us, if we don't have the Holy Spirit curtailing that in us, that madness in us, then we will find ourselves wanting to harm others and do evil in that way. And it says all of that is happening. One thing happens to all, madness is in their hearts. And the bottom line at the end of verse 3, while they live, and after that they go to the dead. So he's telling us in this text, we are to enjoy life because I tell you what, death is going to come. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says this in verse 25, it says, for he must reign, talking about the Lord, he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Putting an enemy under your foot is the pictorial definition of defeating an enemy. And the Lord Jesus Christ is putting every enemy that we have under his feet. And it says in that text, it says, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And he says this, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. I tell you what, death is coming. It's going to come. And so we should enjoy life because death is coming. John 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Think about that. Do you believe that? Whoever believes in Jesus will never die. The word death, now we're referring to dying at the end of our life, physical life, but the word death in the New Testament means separation. And Jesus is saying, if you give your life to me, then you will never be separated from God for eternity. So you'll never die according to the promise that Jesus has given us. So in this passage we're studying, Solomon is saying, I want you to enjoy life now because death is coming. Here's the second movement. Number two, enjoy life now. You're alive. Enjoy life now. You're alive. Because it says in verse 4, but for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. The power of hope. The power of the life that we have to live. We can enjoy life now because we're alive. And it says that. Enjoy life now. You are alive, verses 4 through 6. It says, a living dog is better than a dead lion. It says, for the living know that they will die. At least if you're alive, you know you've got today. You've got this moment that you can enjoy the life God has given you. Look at verse 5. For the living know they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward. There's no more we can do to lay up treasures in heaven. For the memory of them is forgotten. I tell you, I wonder how long I will be remembered. Will you remember me when I die? Will says he will. Robert, He'll remember me. I have right here some books about the history of my family. This is the Carr family of Duplin County, North Carolina, right here. I'm in this book. And I think my relatives, this was done years ago, probably way back in the... Actually, you know what? Actually, I'm not in this book. A family member made a supplemental page, here it is, and put me in the book. Right here, it's all handwritten. See that, Robert? It's all handwritten. I'm the last one on there. And it says, I am letter J. And letter J says, C.J. Carr, who married Christine, had one child, Calvin J. Carr. He says Calvin J. Carr Jr., but I'm not a junior. And he says, Calvin, that's what he wrote, though, Calvin J. Carr Jr. I'm the last one in the book. Now, this thing was done, I don't even know when this thing was done. Lord, help me find it. Yeah, this was done in 1939. This book was written. Why did they write this? They wrote this, you know why? Because we tend to forget. I hope that my legacy, and I hope that your legacy will be done spiritually in the lives of the in the gospel going forward. Because the truth of the matter is, Solomon is telling you this. He's saying, if you're not careful, you better enjoy life. You better lay up treasures in heaven because you'll be forgotten. And what will happen is somebody will get it on their heart. Now this is, look at this book. This is the MacPhail family of Sampson County, North Carolina, the MacPhails. This thing goes all the way back to Ireland, man. We got crests in here and all that. This is my mom's side of the family. And they've done all this. They put all these names in here. I mean, it's unbelievable, the chapters in here. And my grandparents have a chapter in here. And this was done, I think this was really done. You ready for this? I think this was really done so that no name would be forgotten. But the Bible tells us, by the way, don't mess with these books now. These are important to me. Enjoy life now because you're alive, because the Bible says the memory of them is forgotten if we're not careful. The memory of them is forgotten. We're to enjoy life now because you are alive. You have an opportunity to live. Can I tell you something you ought to do? Learn how to forgive. Determined to forgive. Determined to say, I'm sorry. Determined to say, I love you. Tell people what they mean to you now. Tell people what they mean to you now when you can look them in the eye while you're alive and do that. We have our hope is a living hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So, we're to enjoy life now. You know why? Because you're alive. You have hope. One of the things that prisoners of war, I remember hearing the testimony of a major named Gerald Coffey that was a prisoner of war for many years, and he said, the reason I survived until they liberated us is, he said, I had hope that my country was going to come after me. And I knew they would. And so that hope kept him going, even through all kinds of difficulty. So, we're to enjoy life now. Death is coming. We're to enjoy life now because you're alive. But here, listen to this, the last thing. Enjoy life now, and here is how. You ready for this? Number one, of how to enjoy life. Make meals and fellowship special. Now, this is at the point that I realized that Solomon was a Baptist, because he talks about food. He talks about food and drink. He says, go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart. Those were the parts of a good meal. He says, for God has already accepted your works. Now, there's indication that Solomon had all kinds of other things, and he's understanding that those meals are very special, and having it with the Lord in your life is even more important. In 1 Kings chapter 4, it says, now Solomon's provision for one day was 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fattened oxen, 20 oxen from the pastures, 100 sheep, besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. That was the daily provision in the kingdom. But do you know this? In Proverbs chapter 15, he says this, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. So we're to enjoy life, and we're to do it under the superintendency of God. He's basically telling us, make meals very special. He says in Proverbs 17:1, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Let me tell you something. If you have given your life to Jesus and your family is loving one another and Jesus Christ is Lord in your home, let me tell you, you can have beans and rice for the rest of your life, and you will be better off than a home that has all the trappings of the greatest fancy meals they could ever have if they have strife. Solomon is saying that to us. And he's saying, we are to enjoy life, and here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. You make meals very special. It's one of the reasons I miss our Wednesday nights, where we sit around the tables in fellowship and we have meals. And when we get together and have other meals together, it's so very special. Here's the second how. Make every day a special occasion. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, he says, let your garments always be white. Wonder why he says it that way. Well, they would wear white garments on special occasions. You know what he's saying? He's saying make every day special. It's not by, and let me finish that verse. It says, and let your head lack no oil. Oil was used almost as a perfume. So in other words, put on your perfume every day. Make every day special. Now, I think in our world, we think we have to entertain everybody, and so to make things special, it has to be a special event. No, I think what he's saying, it's not by searching for special things that we find joy, but by making the everyday things special. Making the everyday things special. So how do we do it? We make our meal special. How do we do it? We make every day a special occasion. In other words, the grind of the day, going to work, fellowshipping with your friends, loving your family, all of that can be special, and you should put on a white garment and you should put on perfume to make that happen. Sometimes our young people, they get frustrated hearing about the good old days, you know. I was thinking about our college students coming in. They play at the BCM. They play. Now, what is that y'all play? Boggy? What is it called? That's it? Just boggy? Okay. When I was a student at UF, we played something called volleyball ping pong. Okay? So I don't care about your boggy. Volleyball ping pong was amazing. Hey, listen, let me tell you what you don't have in Gainesville right now. When I was a student, there used to be a place here called Skeeters. Can anybody remember that? I got some heads, people raising their hands. Skeeters. We used to go to Skeeters, and they had this big biscuit. You know, and you're saying, well, why are you talking about that? You know why? Because that was just a simple thing, but it was special. You know? And so you make every day special. I think about studying half the night, and there was one grocery store open 24 hours when I was a student here. Now a lot of places are open 24 hours. There was one open 24 hours, and it was the Food Line on 13th Street. It's not even there anymore, I don't think. But I studied with my friend David Foote one night, and I'll never forget. It was about 2:30 in the morning. I said, man, I need some Lucky Charms. Now, see, you may look at me and you say, you know, how does that give you a smile? You know why? Because I didn't want to study at that moment, okay? And because David Foote put me in his car and we went to Food Line and we bought a box of Lucky Charms and we ate the whole box. Hey, look, can I tell you something? Let me just say to our young people and say to others, you know, you don't have to go looking for something for it to be special. Make the life you're living special. Wear a white garment and put on your perfume every single day. You know why? Because you're supposed to enjoy life. Because death is coming. And here's how you do it. You make your meals special. Enjoy the fruit of your labor and make your meals special under the superintendency of God. And then make every day a special occasion. So there are other things that you can do. Here's the third thing. Prioritize your marriage. Now, Solomon messed up in this. He took on foreign wives, and we don't have time to read it right now, but you can go to 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 8, and you find where he took on wives that got him serving other gods. And he's telling us, he's saying, it's almost as if in verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all of your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. He's basically saying, look, I messed up in this. I believe Solomon, if he was right here right now, and I think he's saying this to us, God's using him through the book of Ecclesiastes, he's saying, look, he said, I went out and I found all these relationships. They took me away from my God. They took me in an area I didn't want to go. And he's saying, I learned my lesson and now I'm telling you something you need to know. Prioritize your marriage and live joyfully with the wife God has given you. So we are to enjoy our meals. We are to make every day a special occasion. We are to prioritize our marriage. When I was a teenager and I came to know Jesus, my pastor, he used this phrase all the time. He said, your home can be a little corner of heaven on earth. He would always say that. He'd say, your home can be a little corner of heaven on earth. And I remember sitting there about Coley's age right here. And I remember sitting there listening to him say that, and I say, Lord, could you help me to have that? I say, Lord, would you help me to experience that where my home can be a little corner of heaven on earth? And can I tell you something? Praise God, the Lord has blessed and allowed me to have a house. Kelly, I tell you, we'll go out. I say, Kelly, where you want to go? I want to take you out. Where you want to go? You want to go to Outback? You want to go to Olive Garden? You want to go somewhere else? Where would you like to go? She goes, Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A. I say, okay, Chick-fil-A. I can't tell you how many times we grab that bag of Chick-fil-A and bring it in that house, and I just think, God has been so good in giving me a home where I'm comfortable, where I enjoy the fellowship with my sweet wife. And I really believe for young people, and I really believe for all of us, if we put Christ first, we can have a little corner of heaven on earth in our home. So he's telling us now how to He's telling us how to do it. How do you enjoy life when you know you're going to die? And how do you enjoy life when you know life sometimes delivers some difficulty? All right, you make your meals special. You make every day a special occasion. You prioritize your marriage. But I love this. The last thing, number four, put passion in your work and do it now. Look at verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. I firmly believe that passion and intensity in life is really what leadership is all about. They say that the one quality lacking in young men, the one quality that if you find this quality, girls, you find a young man with this quality, you better latch on to that guy, because it is so rare in our day, and that is the quality of initiative. A man who will take initiative, because many times men are passive. I see it in myself, wanting to be passive. That's that evil that lingers in me, wanting to be passive. But it says here, you know what you ought to do to enjoy life? Whatever God has called you to do, do it with all your might. Do it with everything you've got, with all that your hands find to do. Do it with all your might in verse 10. In John 9, verse 4, it says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul was in prison in Rome, and he was about to be beheaded. And the Apostle Paul wrote to his young Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy. It's one of my favorite books of the New Testament. 2 Timothy was the last book that Paul wrote. And the second to the last verse he wrote, he says to Timothy, he said, I want you to come and see me. And then he says this, come before winter. Because in the days that he was writing, when winter comes, the harbor freezes and the ships can't get anybody there. And so Paul was in prison. He says, I want you to bring me some things. He said, but come before winter. And it's the idea of do it now what you're going to do. Whatever God has called you to do, do it with all your heart. Can I tell you this? If God's called you to go on a mission trip, do it now. If God's called you to give that gift, do it now. If God's called you to grab your children and put your hands on their face and look them in the eye and say, I just want you to know I love you. I'm for you. Do it now. If there's some friend that you know Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, wants you to witness to, wants you to share Christ with, don't put it off. Do it now. Whatever God has called you to do, do it with all your heart. God has called you to be an engineer. You've studied at the University of Florida to be an engineer. You ought to do it with all your might. You ought to be the very best engineer you could ever be. God's called you to be a doctor. God's called you to be a nurse. God's called you to be a businessman. God's called you to be a teacher. God's called you to be a plumber. God's called you to be a student. Whatever God's called you to do right now, do it with all your might. That's how you enjoy life. Do it with all your might. Teach that class God's called you to teach. Mentor that teenager. Well, I'm so grateful. Whew, only the Lord knows the busy men, executives, powerful men in jobs that went out visiting and they came and knocked on my door when I was a kid that nobody, I had nothing to offer. And they came and knocked on my door, Bill Parrott and others, and they came and knocked on my door. And I'd run. I didn't want to see those guys, but they kept coming and they kept coming and they kept coming. And then many of them would give weeks of their life to go to youth camp. Many of them would give time to mentor me and to help me. These were busy people. They had other things to do. So if God's called you to mentor some young person, you do it with all your heart. I tell you, you never know the impact that you may have. The vice president for the North America Mission Board in church planting is a man named Jeff Christofferson. I heard his testimony. He said, my dad came to know Christ at a showing of a film. He said, we were living in Canada, and I was a little kid, And he said, my dad came home and said, we're going to go to a film. Billy Graham's made a film, and we're going to go to a film. He said, we went to that film, and there was nobody there but us. And they showed this film. I can't even remember the name of it. They showed this film, and Christofferson said, I was just a little kid. And they gave an invitation at the end. A man stood up. And he said, look, if you've watched this today and you need Christ, why don't you come forward right now? We're going to play a little song and you come forward. And he said, the man played the song and nobody moved. We didn't move. We were the only ones there. We didn't move. Just maybe a handful of people other than them, but that's it. There's hardly anybody there. And he said, we didn't move, and so we left. He said, on the way home, the Holy Spirit got a hold of my dad. He pulled over and he said, that's it. He said, we are dedicating our home to Jesus Christ. He gave his life to Christ, got involved in church, and Jeff said, I came to know Christ as an example of that. He said, now I am leading church planting for NAM, for the North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. He said, do you know that years later, Dr. Graham was coming back to Canada for a meeting, and a man stood up, and I was able to share my testimony, and my dad was there, and he shared his testimony about how at that movie pricked his heart. In the very back of the building, a man lifted his hand. He goes, I was the one that sponsored that movie. And he said, nobody came forward that night. He said, oh yeah, I know, no, we didn't come forward that night, but later that night we gave our lives to Christ and it forever changed our family. And now my son leads all church planting for the North American Mission Board. And that man in the back began to cry. He said, I showed that movie and no one came forward the whole time, and I've lived my whole life thinking that it was for nothing. Let me tell you something. The Lord sees it all. And the Lord will use you in the thing. Whatever it is God has called you to do, do it with all your might. So, we are blessed today, church, because we have a king that is speaking to us. God is using Solomon to tell us something. Enjoy life now while you search. And we're to do it because, you know, death is coming. We're to do it because we're alive and we can. And then we do it by making those meals special, by rejoicing in the wife that God has given us, by doing what we do with all of our might, with all of our strength, and by making every day a special, special day. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.